Welcome to the Chicks Talkin' Footy Joy Podcast, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL women since day one. Lovely.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. I'm Danae, I'm a docker. Hello, Crow.
Hello, I'm excited.
That's Beck. Rachel, how are you, Hawk? We haven't seen you for a little while.
Good, yes, I'm good. Watching the women's at the Right Oval, enjoying life.
We did give you a bit of grief last week, Rach. You weren't here to defend yourself.
And look, well deserved. And look, while we're quickly on the topic, massive shout out to my Uber driver because whilst there were bouts of laughter, he took pity on me and he drove me back to Icon Park. So, Simon, if you're listening, a big thank you.
Sorry, drove you back?
I didn't start there. Okay. Sorry, just to confirm. Drove me to the correct oval.
I thought this story might have got even worse. Before we get into Chicks Talking Footy tonight, I'd like to say thank you to Malcolm and Stuart for that sports show. Good on you.
Absolutely.
Massive thank you, guys, for without you, our show would not have had a platform. So we can't thank you enough. And congratulations on a great show.
And they are front runners. Have you joined any of the sporting groups, Beck?
I'm more of a watcher than a player.
I was going to say Chicks Talking Footy doesn't count.
Yeah. No. There's no bar to go to when they expect you to play.
You really don't know much about sport in Melbourne, do you?
Maybe I need to try harder. Yeah.
Have you played badminton ever?
I have no hand-eye coordination. I can do zero sports, Danae. Zero. I can talk about them all ad nauseum. Can't play one.
Okay. Rach, have you ever tried badminton?
I haven't, because badminton was for losers when I was at school. So...
Are you saying there's a social strata?
There was a definite social strata. No, I haven't tried badminton, but I am a huge lover of playing sport. Not particularly very good at it, but I do enjoy being out there on the field.
So, Rachel, we've got two Hawks in the Chicks Talking Footy.
We do.
Leadership group. All six of us are in the leadership group. Quite different to Collingwood's.
I was going
to
say, we've got the second biggest leadership group in the AFL.
And the AFLW. Yes, you're rather tall. You're the tallest member of our leadership group,
yes,
Rachel.
Yes, I would. I would definitely be the ruck in our AFLW team.
Speaking of ruck, when Dave and I interviewed the Crows ruck on Monday on Drive, and I asked her about whether she liked being called ruck, ruckman, ruck woman,
ruck
person, and she just laughed and she said, I don't even really know what it's called. She said she'll answer to anything, but she said even she's been saying things like third man up, and she's like, oh, that's not really what you're supposed to say. So she answered to anything.
Third man up? Why not?
Why not?
Exactly.
But you missed an opportunity to call her ruck chick.
I did. I should have.
Never mind. What's on the show tonight, you ask, now that we're almost a third of the way through it?
Danae, what's on the show tonight?
We are going to talk about the AFLW. We might touch on the community pre-season scratchy practice yawn fest that the men are playing at the moment.
It is a yawn fest. That's a very good way to put it.
And we will chat with Cheryl Critchley from the AFL Fans Association.
Definitely not a yawn fest.
No, not at all. And we might talk about next week's games as well. Let's talk about round five AFLW.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brisbane Lions played the Western Bulldogs. I loved that game.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
Even though Brisbane kicked 2-11?
Yeah, but It was a very low scoring game. I love watching Brisbane. I shouldn't say that as
no,
a
of course you should.
But I love watching. I love Taylor Harris. I'm just obsessed with her.
I had forgotten how young she is. It's remarkable. Yes. You did skip Friday night's game.
I did. Much like the AFL did, I suspected it.
Because it was at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon in Subi.
Why? Are they putting these games on at such ridiculous times? Who has the ability to get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, as I said in my match report for the Footy Almanac, my girlfriend was there and the players' families.
Yep.
There were a couple of thousand. My particular grief with this one is that it was a double header, and the men played at 5:30-ish, and they could have played at 5:30, and we could have played at 7:40. So the double header could have been reversed, and the women could have played later. So I don't understand.
3 o'clock kids aren't even finished school.
I know. Hmm. Well, imagine Dana Hooker's. Anyway, she's is a recently mum. Mm. That's. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
She has a baby. And she played well. The captain, Cara Donnellan, awesome.
Mm.
Awesome. She did a couple of things that I haven't seen many others do on the field. So Fremantle won their first game and upset the Blues bandwagon.
Yeah.
As it turned out, that might have been pretty useful to you, Crow.
I think so. As we're at the very pointy end now.
So at Adelaide and Melbourne, did you watch that game?
Oh, did I watch that game? Adelaide blew their chance to make the grand final. I mean, they've still got a chance, but they blew their chance for a home grand final. But it was a good game for the first two quarters. Then I dropped off because I thought Melbourne are all over this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two goals in, I think it was a minute, right at the end. And we ended up going down by 2 points, which was a bit heart-wrenching. But that third quarter, Melbourne just kind of dominated. And Daisy Pearce, I mean, come on. How good is she?
Yeah, she's amazing.
So who are your favourite players now? We've watched five rounds of the women. Who are your favourite players?
Well, my favourite player in my own team, the Crows, is Chelsea Randall. Mm-hmm. I just love her. And I love Taylor Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Lauren Arnell from Carlton. They're probably my big faves.
Great. What about you, Rachel? Have you developed any favourites?
This is a bit embarrassing, but I can't remember her name, but she's number one for Carlton. I want to say Lachlan, Leyland.
Number one, that's Brianna Davey, isn't it?
Mm. No, then it's not her. Let's try again. definitely starts with an L. Maybe she's number 10 or 11. Very embarrassing, but I watch her a lot and I think she's amazing. I'm also a big fan of the Radelaide player, Sarah Perkins. She's fantastic.
We love
she's
her. Great.
And whilst you tell your favourite players now, I'm going to just double check that young lady's name.
Mm.
Young ladies. I have dozens of favourites and we'll talk about them some other time because I want to mention that on Sunday morning, Collingwood kicked a record score, 7-13, Giants 3-1. In the first game at Olympic Park on Sunday morning in the sun, 3,000 there, I think. It was fantastic.
Yeah. What was the good atmosphere?
Great atmosphere. I watched some from the Glasshouse Wing and I met up with a friend who has a young family. And so I watched most of that game through the eyes of a 12-year-old girl who has fallen in love with football and is a Pie supporter. So and
one out of two.
Yeah. Then she got the cards that I'd got from the kick to kick on IWD at the MCG, and she got a poster because Collingwood people just kept throwing free things at us, including apples. Not throwing apples, but giving us and all sorts of things. It was great. I loved it.
Isn't that the beautiful thing about this, though? I love the suburban grounds and seeing kids just run around and engage with the players at the end fantastic. Of the game. It's so accessible.
And they hung around for so long. I left before all the players had finished signing.
Yeah, wow.
That's wonderful.
I think some of the men could learn a thing or two from this.
I agree.
Well, I think we should talk with Cheryl Critchley from the AFL Fans Association and see what she thinks of the AFLW experience, among other things.
This is Pat Miller, the president of the Blueroos, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Pat Miller, we'll be chatting with him in a few weeks, I think.
Yay!
So we've got a big announcement for a little later, but not right now. Crow, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, good. Good work. Yep. We're talking about having a big announcement to come up.
Oh, it's exciting.
And Pat Miller from the Blue Ruse, one of the 9 groups of LGBTQI AFL supporter groups.
Amazing.
That are present now, including the Golden Tigers, who we only just recently found out about during midsummer.
Yes.
And we hope to talk to all of them at some point this season.
Yes. Hi, Rainbow Crows.
Okay. Cheryl Critchley has been part of the AFL Fans Association since she helped to coordinate it and get it going a couple of years ago. She's a voluntary press officer and now the vice president. So, Cheryl, how are you?
Great, thanks, and thanks for having me.
What led you to start the AFL Fans Association?
Oh, well, I suppose basically for a long time fans have sort of felt like they're, you know, they've been a bit taken for granted by the AFL with things like, you know, rising ticket prices and food and drink prices and all that sort of thing. And then, you know, the number of competing members getting grand final tickets is pretty low. And we've just felt that they didn't have a voice. So being a journalist, I thought, well, I can help with the media side of it. And then we got together with a few other guys, including Joffa, if you know him, the guy from the Collingwood Cheer Squad. Yeah, and we formed a committee at the end of 2013. And we've basically been going since then as a voluntary organisation, sort of just doing our best to give fans a voice on various issues that affect them.
Oh, brilliant. Is the Fans Association a members organisation? Like, could I join, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, you can join. I think people tend to go on Facebook. We've got about 6,500 likes on Facebook. And then you can also join on our website, which is aflfans.org.au. And we've got about 2,000 people who've done that. But I think in this social media age, people just tend to interact online rather than actually joining up. But it'd be great if more people did join up because, you know, strength in numbers and all that sort of thing.
I'll go home and join up.
Oh, so, great.
So if a member of the football community has an issue, is it just a matter of contacting the association and asking them to look into it and to make appropriate inquiries? Or
We do what we can, and sort of being a voluntary group, we try to pick issues that are affecting most fans, like say ticketing and you know, a lot of fans aren't too happy with the idea of a night grand final, and some are raising concerns about gambling ads and that sort of thing. So what we do is when we get a feel for an issue on Facebook, that's when we'll take it a bit further and maybe put out a media release. And in a couple of cases we have met with the AFL, but generally because we're still a growing, you know, small growing organisation, we have to try and stick to issues that affect a lot of fans if we can.
Is there one particular issue, Cheryl, that the association has sort of grabbed hold of and you've sort of felt success that you've brought it to the forefront and changed something?
Oh, yeah, definitely ticketing, because in 2014 they brought in variable pricing, which, like, introduced a whole heap of categories to games, and it also had, like, a reserved games where you could not buy a general admission ticket, and effectively it made it really expensive to book seats to high-profile games, and it made it, you know, $20 dearer to sit in the same seats in some cases than it was the previous year. So we really jumped on that, and we put out a lot of media releases, and there was a lot of talkback radio, and we actually had, I reckon we had some success with that, because they ended up canning the A-reserve games, and then the following year they modified the system. You know, not necessarily a lot better, but they did change it. And we also jumped on the food and drink bandwagon as well and put out a few releases on that, and had some success there, because the MCG actually reduced the price of some of its basic food, and Eddie had also reduced a few things too. But basically chips and pies and hot dogs went down to $4, and chips had been, oh, sorry, pies, so hot dogs were $6.50 and they went down to $4. So yeah, it was amazing.
That's an outrage. And that,
it is an outrage. On a personal note, Cheryl, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They've since gone up a little bit, but they've only put them up by 10 or 20 cents a year. So I think this year those items are about $4.30, but 3 years ago they were like $6, $6.50. So we have had a few successes, which has been great.
Outrageous. What happened to going to Waverley with a thermos and a sandwich? But anyway.
Yeah, I still take the thermos.
Yeah.
Me too.
With the introduction of the AFL Women's Football League, obviously, have you had any feedback regarding those, any issues surrounding those games or the ticketing issues?
Oh, well, it's actually been free to get in, which has been fantastic. Yep. And I'm pretty sure the grand final is free as well. So it's been a really positive experience. And I'd say at least 80% of fans have been, you know, really wrapped with it. And then you get the occasional, you know, smart aleck who's like, oh, you know, they're only going because it's free. But the men's games are effectively free too, because the pre-season is free if you're a member of a competing club. So, you know, the women's comp's just been fantastic.
We are big fans of it, so you're preaching to the choir, Cheryl. what's your big thing on the agenda at the moment for 2017?
Oh, we'll definitely keep looking at the ticketing, because the way it's changed now, the home team is able to change the price of a ticket up till match day. So the prices you see online at the moment, you know, your $40 for a level one seat, if the home team wants to, they can put that up to, say, $45 or $50 2 days before the game.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, that's what you call dynamic pricing, and that came in last year. And it did happen a few times because we kept an eye on it, and there was a few examples. In round one, I think Richmond put the tickets up by about $2 the day before the game, and then there was a few other examples. But on the plus side, there were a few games where the prices went down, so we have to be fair, don't we?
That's no fun.
So Cheryl, there's not a super structure at the AFL where they consult with fans or your association as such, is there?
Not yet, but we'd love to develop a relationship. We have had sort of occasional meetings with various people in there, but they have things like Fan Focus, which is like an email poll that they'll put out to people on that list to consult about various issues. But we haven't yet got to that stage where they're like, oh, I wonder what the fans think of this. We'll go to the Fans Association. We're still working on that.
Well, they have a monopoly, don't they? I guess.
Yeah, well, I suppose. And that's the other reason why we started this, because the fans have always just almost been an afterthought with a lot of things that go on. And we want them to be, you know, have a strong voice and be able to put their views across.
And a big thank you for that. Just on another topic, I, in preparation for the show, read an article that you wrote about your son hating football and you coming to terms with that. And I have a child and it's my biggest fear. And I was just wondering, since that article's been written, have you had any movement in your son's enjoyment of football, or are you still in the same position?
No. Oh. Well, we do follow Richmond too, so.
Well, yes. Hopefully, better 2017.
Yeah, the funny thing is that I was so excited about the first women's game and I really wanted to go. And guess what? It was on Ben's birthday. I said to Ben, hey, Ben, how about you go to the AFL women's game for your birthday? And do you think he wanted to do that?
No.
So one last question from me, Cheryl. What do you think the general temperature of fans that the feedback you've got for a twilight grand final, do we think it's inevitable?
Oh, I think people resign themselves to that, don't they? When the AFL starts talking about a change like that, that's usually going to happen. But generally, fans are traditionalists with things like that. I'd say at least 80% of the feedback we get is against changing it. But, you know, it does seem like it's going to happen. So, you know, we just have to get used to it, don't we, unfortunately. Mm.
Yeah, I don't like the idea.
Me neither. Fingers crossed it doesn't happen.
Well, we've got the AFLW Grand Final to enjoy before we even start worrying about what's going to happen at the end of the AFL 2017 season. Hey, thanks for talking with us, Cheryl.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Cheryl Critchley is the Vice President of the AFL Fans Association.
I've just signed up.
Signed up?
Because I didn't realise there were so many issues I felt so strongly about. Hot dogs and others.
Let's touch on the JLT Community Series. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes to talk about this. I'd like to just say a couple of things. I noticed that the Crows, in their game against the Lions, had 34 scoring shots.
Mm.
Yes, that's a lot.
That is a lot. And everything you've just said tonight was more interesting than any of the JLT games put together for the entire competition.
They really are just a waste, aren't they?
We're such haters.
For Fremantle, Cam McCarthy kicked 6 goals. This is the player that sat out the whole season because he didn't get a trade back to Fremantle last year. So he
was a Suki Lala.
Yeah.
Who can kick 6 goals in a pre-season match.
Put your toys back in the pram, mate, and kick a few.
So he He might have some of the worst facial hair going around. And so Beck is, of course, our hairstylist here at Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. So you'll be looking into that.
I'm going to look into that. Okay. Again, more interesting than the entire JLT series combined.
I can't tell you how often I've noticed the double bangers braids around the streets of Melbourne.
That's just me.
Since the beginning of the AFLW. And I like to give credit to Lauren Arnell.
Yes, yes.
Definitely.
I love hair.
We'll talk about the last round of the AFLW up next.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Beck, Danae and Rachel. Now, we have been teasing our exciting announcement. So those of us who, those of you who follow us, those of you who follow us on social media, we did announce a few weeks ago that as of April 5th, we would be going to a 1 hour show, but no. No.
What, Beck? What?
I know you've been wondering, Rachel. Our 1 hour show starts next week.
Yay! So the crowd goes wild.
I know. Just in time for the AFLW Grand Final and the first round of the AFL. So we are hashtag excited.
Yay!
Is that the only hashtag you've got?
I've got heaps of hashtags.
Yeah, I thought so.
Hashtag Phil Davis's hair. Sorry, as you were today.
Well, I have been talking about Lauren Arnell's.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. Did you find number one for Carlton?
So this will amuse everybody, and I'm going to blame the fact it's been a long weekend.
Does she actually play for the Bulldogs?
She does. Yeah, she does. And her name's Brooke Lachlan. So first of all, shout out to Brooke. You're amazing. Second of all, shout out to Carlton. You're all fantastic. When I turn up to the correct oval and watch you play, and I'm not at Witten Oval by myself.
You're not playing.
Waiting for the women to run out onto the field and thinking, why am I the only person in the stadium?
Maybe you got confused because you were trying to go and see the book. Oh, Rachel, it's lucky you're pretty.
So there's one more round of the AFLW to be played this weekend. Saturday and Sunday, two games on each day. No Thursday, Monday, none of that business. So there are two games. One in Melbourne at Casey Fields at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Melbourne versus Fremantle.
Heave-ho, Danae, heave-ho. Mm-hmm.
You want us to win, don't you? Really want. So there are thoughts that there are a number of possibilities about who could get that second place to play in Brisbane.
Two realistic ones.
Yeah. So Melbourne and Adelaide are best placed. Yes. If Melbourne loses to Fremantle, then things are looking good for the Crows. So, and if Melbourne win, well, we'll see. Giants versus Western Bulldogs at Marnica Oval.
Rachel will be watching that game closely.
Hey, go Carlton.
Yes, go Blues.
And then on Sunday, it's Collingwood versus the Crows at Olympic Park Oval.
Oh, you guys have got this.
I don't think I'm going to sleep for the next 4 days.
1:30 on Sunday afternoon. Go. Everyone go.
Yeah,
it's a good time for the game.
They can't relocate it, even though it's really important, because the last game of the inaugural season before the grand final is Carlton versus Brisbane Lions in Melbourne at Icon Park at 3:30. There are three games in Melbourne this weekend.
Footy, 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 football. So 8 o'clock next week. Don't miss the start of the show.
8 o'clock next week. Thanks to That Sports Show for giving us that space.
Yeah, thank
Rachel,
you very much.
Thanks,
thank
Hawk.
You so much.
Bet, go well, Crow.
Hashtag we flies one.
Yeah, you're going to be feeling sick. Thank you for listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We'll be back at 8 o'clock next week.
I'm Jason Twizel McSheen from the Purple Bombers, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Gordon from Been There, Done That. And I just want to let you know that there's a little bit extra from the Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Now, we do have Chicks Talking Footy every Wednesday, but Dave and I have brought it to Mondays because why not? On the line, we have Adelaide Crows absolute superstar, Rhianna Metcalf. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Rhiannon, despite my desperate screaming at the television on Saturday night, you didn't quite get there. I was hoping to have the grand final spot locked up. How are you feeling about this week against Collingwood, though?
Yeah, look, Collingwood have been playing some great football. Obviously, we're pretty disappointed with the loss by 2 points on the weekend to Melbourne. But, you know, that's behind us now and we're just focusing on the game this weekend.
How was it playing in Darwin in that humidity? I was hot just watching it.
Oh, yeah, look, it's very different for, you know, all the other places we've played so far. It's definitely something different that's just pretty hard to adapt to. But, you know, I think both the teams, we're both feeling the heat. So, you know, we're both in the same boat kind of thing.
So how is yourself and the team preparing for the trip to Melbourne after the Darwin trip? Are you doing something different in training this week?
No, we're pretty much just sticking to what we've been doing throughout the whole season. We're basically just focusing on recovering from the weekend and focusing on, you know, what we're going to do for the game this weekend.
And I'm excited. I don't know that I'm going to be able to sleep between now and Sunday because I'm too nervous. So I don't know how you girls feel. Rhiannon, tell us a little bit about your own, I guess, personal journey into the AFLW because you're in the Navy. Is that where you started playing football?
Yeah, so I've actually only been playing football for 3 years now. The first time I've ever played AFL was for the Navy. So I've played a bit football through Sydney and in Canberra and then recently just moved here to Adelaide for work and to play for the Crows as well.
So when you started playing footy 3 years ago, did you ever believe and dream that you'd be playing AFL football?
No, absolutely not. You know, when I first played that Navy game, I just got asked by a friend, you know, they needed someone with height. And, you know, I played a lot of different sports growing up and I had the skills there and I knew how to play football. So they asked me to come along and, you know, look, 3 years later, this is where I'm standing. So that's fantastic.
It's a pretty amazing journey. One of the things that's really interested me watching the AFLW is how you all manage to juggle still working and playing football, which is something the men, I guess, don't have to deal with being full-time professional footballers. How's that been for you, juggling your job in the Navy with playing the game?
Yeah, look, it is manageable. You do have to be very conscious of your time and where you've got to be at certain things. And the defence are very supportive of, you know, what I'm doing with football. So, you know, if there is something that they need to let me go for a couple of hours to go to a player appearance, something like that, they're happy to let me go and, you know, fill those commitments.
Oh, brilliant. Now, watching the Crows fanatically as I do, one of the things I've just absolutely loved watching is your phenomenal coach, Bec Goddard, and the clear, yeah, I guess, respect and admiration that you girls have for her. What's she like as a coach?
Yeah. Oh, Bec's amazing. Like she's one of the best coaches I've ever had. She really knows how to connect with us on different levels and, you know, how to lift us when we're feeling a bit down or, you know, whatever. So she's absolutely amazing.
Now, with the men's side, is there a relationship between the women's side and the men's side at the Adelaide Crows?
Yeah, well, obviously we use the same facilities. So we do, you know, cross paths throughout the club there and we've had some coffees and all that, breakfast and all that kind of stuff with the men's club to have a chat, you know, which other teams are going. So, you know, we still have that interaction with each other.
Now, Adelaide Crows captain Taylor Walker seems like he's a bit of a wild one at times. How's he?
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. We've had quite a few chats with him, you know, and he's very interested in how all the girls are going with football and managing, you know, obviously the full-time work and football at the same time. So, yeah, he's a great bloke.
Oh, brilliant. I just have watched with amazement how the AFLW competition's taken off. And I think it's really been more than a sport. There's been a lot of, I guess, cultural change about women in the game and diversity in the game and all those sorts of things. Do you think the competition's been really important in that sense as well as just for sport?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's taken a lot of turns. But, yeah, like it's even just seeing the younger girls, the new generations coming through, it's a good thing to see all the girls getting involved at such a young age as well.
Now, were you a Crow supporter, Rhiannon? Did you want to play for the Crows?
I have grown up supporting the Sydney Swans since I can remember. My partner, she's a big Crows fan, so I recently, like beginning this year, before I knew I was even playing for the Crows, kind of adopted them as my second team, just from the style of football and how they present themselves on the field. Then all of a sudden I was picked for Adelaide Crows. So,
well, I guess she was pretty happy you were playing for her team then.
Yeah, absolutely. She loves taking off my gear and being able to wear it as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So how important is women's football and the culture within the change room for people like yourself, just to be yourself, I guess?
Yeah, look, all the girls are super supportive of each other and, you know, really get around each other and anything, you know, that's happening on or off the field. So it's great to, you know, get around the girls and, yeah.
The other thing that I really surprised me about the women as opposed to the men is all the men are obviously just single sport players, but the women all seem to come from these other sports. I mean, even just in the Crows, you've got Erin Phillips, the basketballer, you've got Jenna, who's a soccer player. There's all these amazing women that have played all these multiple sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we've got, you know, so many girls that have come from different codes. You know, I haven't been playing AFL myself for as long, but, you know, I come from, you know, basketball, touch football, soccer, rugby, you know, girls have those skills and bring it into AFL and, you know, just go from there.
I've got to ask you this one, Rhiannon. There's a lot of conjecture around what word we use for the position you play. Is it ruck? Is it ruck woman? Is it ruck person? Ruck lady? What do you like?
Yeah, look, I think I'm even, you know, we're still struggling with the terminology at sometimes too. I do sometimes say ruckman, but, you know, I usually just say ruck, or I'm now adjusting to saying ruck woman.
I love the terminology around the ruck contest as well. Third man up or third woman up. I like it.
Yeah, that's also a struggle to get used to.
Oh, well, they're all the things that we'll get used to more and more as the game goes on. Well, Rhiannon, thank you so much for talking to us. I'm super excited for Sunday. If you see someone screaming madly at you from the sidelines at Olympic Park, that will be me. So I apologise in advance for that. And tell the other girls that I'm sorry. My obsession with them is out of control, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
That's great.
Rhiannon, I watched the Top of the Table Clash a couple of weeks ago, Brisbane Adelaide with Beck, and she is your number one fan. She is so intense during games.
I know. I just showed Dave, actually, my phone screensaver is a photo of me and Beck Goddard, so I've really taken fangirling to a whole new level.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you for your time and good luck on Sunday against Collingwood at Olympic Park Oval 135. Thanks for coming on Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, Rhiannon.
Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL Women's since day one. Lovely.